Gavin Newsom said this week that Democrats may keep some of Trump's tariffs on Canada if they return to power. This is not a small statement. It's a significant departure from what has been the orthodox Democratic position on trade, which has generally been to oppose Trump-era tariffs as economically harmful and diplomatically corrosive. The fact that the most prominent potential 2028 Democratic presidential contender is now floating tariff retention tells you something important about where the electoral politics of trade are heading. The economic logic Newsom is apparently working from is that some domestic industries, particularly in manufacturing, have rebuilt supply chains and worker expectations around the tariff environment. Ripping those protections out suddenly would create its own disruption, regardless of what free trade theory says about long-run efficiency. There's also a political logic. The working-class voters in Rust Belt states that Democrats have been trying to win back are often more sympathetic to protectionist trade policies than the party's traditional donor base.
Canada is an interesting specific target here, because Canadian tariffs have been among the more politically awkward of the Trump trade actions. Canada is a NATO ally, a USMCA partner, and the US's largest trading partner, by some measures. The tariffs created genuine diplomatic friction with Ottawa. For Newsom to suggest maintaining some of them is a signal that the Democratic Party's trade policy recalibration is more than rhetorical.
Now, and this is the part of today's show I find most intellectually interesting, let's do what we call what if we're wrong. I want to apply it to the claim that feels most settled in today's news. The consensus assessment that Russia's mobilization of 600,000 additional troops over 2 years represents a sign of strength and commitment to a long war. The confident claim is, Russia is doubling down on a war of attrition and the mobilization numbers prove it. The implication most analysts are drawing is that this conflict will extend for years, that Russia has the demographic and logistical capacity to sustain it, and that Ukraine needs corresponding long-term Western support to match.
But let me probe that. What if the 600,000 mobilization plan is actually a sign of strain rather than strength? Consider what sustained mobilization at that scale does to Russian society and economy. Russia's labor market is already significantly stressed. The country is experiencing labor shortages in manufacturing and agriculture, partly because workers have already been pulled into the military. Mobilizing another 600,000 over 2 years means 600,000 fewer workers in an economy that's already under severe sanctions pressure. Historical parallels cut in complicated directions. The Soviet Union sustained enormous military mobilizations during World War II, but it was also receiving significant Allied material support, which Russia conspicuously is not. Germany's Wehrmacht in the later stages of the war mobilized aggressively too, and the mobilizations became increasingly desperate rather than powerful.
The assumption that needs scrutiny is the assumption that bodies equal effectiveness. Russia's earlier mobilization waves produced significant problems, soldiers sent to the front with inadequate training and equipment, morale problems, command issues. If the 600,000 figure represents a plan, the question is whether Russia can actually convert that manpower into effective fighting capacity, or whether it's a paper plan that signals intent without guaranteeing capability.
And here's where I'd add another layer. Ukraine is the source of the intelligence that produced this figure. Ukraine has very strong incentives to present Russian capabilities as formidable, because formidable Russian capabilities are the best argument for continued Western military and financial support. That doesn't mean the figure is wrong, but it means we should hold it with appropriate uncertainty.
Concrete indicators. Watch for signs of Russia actually canceling or scaling back the mobilization, economic data showing unsustainable labor market pressure, political signals from within Russia of elite dissatisfaction with the war's costs, or reports of equipment shortfalls that would suggest the 600,000 troop plan is outrunning Russia's actual. So what should listeners watch for to know if we're wrong? Military-industrial capacity. If those signals start accumulating, the confident Russia is settling in for a long war from a position of strength narrative needs revision. The mobilization plan is real, but its meaning depends on execution, and execution has been Russia's consistent weakness throughout this conflict.